Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
And so what an amazing thing to know. This is why we faint not. And with that hope continuing in that same chapter, that there are things that we cannot see. And those are the things we're hoping for. Those eternal purposes, those eternal weight of glory that God will reveal at His specific time. Now, Colossians says it like this. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." He goes on in chapter 2 and says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He wants them to understand that there is something there that he's fighting for. And even though they're in this state of apathy, even though they've been swept away by the world, even though that their mind is so affected, even though their mind is so filled with all sorts of garbage, things that are literally causing them to ponder, causing them to even question whether or not Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. It seems like that Paul logically would have said, "This church has gone way too far." But there was something now that would cause the man of God to contend. There was something here that would spark flame in the man of God that would say, "For this cause." Well, what is that amazing cause? In verse 3 says, "We give thanks to God for and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since the day we heard of your faith in Christ." And so he begins to see this hope of the gospel that's mentioned here in verse number 5. And he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." We see it again in verse number 23. Then at the latter part, he says, "From the hope of the gospel which ye have heard." And so there is a hope of the gospel. And Paul has this understanding that there is something that is gleaming. There is something, in regard of all the darkness, in regard of all the garbage in their mind, there is something there that is very precious, that is rare, that is valuable to contend for. And so this isn't just one person, but there are several in this body of believers that have been swept away. Their worship now, I say it again, their worship is affected. Their mind, that's where the battleground is. That's where the Lord says in Peter, "Gird up the loins of your mind." When those soldiers of Israel would go out and fight on the battlefield, they would gird up their loins. They had pulled their robe up and tucked it in their belt, and they was prepared for battle, offensively and defensively. So when you gird up your mind, you're preparing your mind for battle. And the enemy has all sorts of stuff he wants to try to get in your mind. Can I say real quick that the enemy, the devil, is a liar and the father of lies. Whatever he says that goes against this book is a lie. And so what we find, even in all of that, even in the darkness, even in the confusion, Paul sees this precious stone, this golden nugget, this instrument that is so yet beautiful, that is so yet worth contending for. And so what we find is their faith in Jesus Christ. He knows that there are some folk in this crowd that have been born again by the grace of God. Now we know God is an eternal being, and everything He does is with eternal purpose. And when God creates a soul, it is that eternal being. It's an eternal soul. When God saves a soul, that soul is reborn in the family of God. It is a work from an eternal work. I'm saved forever. And I'm secure in Christ. And so from that premise, we understand now that He that hath begun a good work in you will continue, will perfect it, will go forward. We see the working of the Father in the book of Romans chapter number 8, where the Word of God is clear and precise in proclaiming to us that God is still at work and still moving and still perfecting and still maturing. And it says, for whom He did foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so we know now that God has started an eternal work on you. When God saved you, when God birthed you into His family, He did not set you aside to just wander and hopefully get there. When God saved you, it was a beginning. It was God doing a work on you. And when God saved us, we didn't get up the next morning 100% had it all figured out. Now, as far as God's concerned, from God's side, looking down upon us through Christ, we're already there as far as God's concerned. Matter of fact, let's go back and read that wonderful text in Romans chapter 8 and continuing in verse 30. He says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. The preacher said it right earlier in the week, Brother Weekler. I said they're all, I believe it was, all in the past tense. So as far as God's concerned, on our position in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, we are in Him 100% perfect, glorified, justified, beautiful in Jesus Christ. Now then, Paul understands that there is a new man here, that there is a new creature here, and there is something there that doesn't matter how thick the darkness is, doesn't matter how gray that it is, there's something there that is worth contending for. And can I remind you here, in the book of Amos, we find an interesting depiction of the Lord and His matchless mercy and His wonderful grace. He says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd. Can I pause there and say, I believe we know who the Bible is talking about. The Bible says there in the book of John chapter 10 and in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. And so He says it again in the same chapter, I am the good shepherd. And then it will read on and it says, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion. I cannot pause and say, I believe we know who the Bible is referring to there. According to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and beginning in verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we go on and it says, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. It seems like there's parts of a sheep left. It don't seem like there's much left there. But can I remind you that according to the book of Luke, chapter number 15, I believe it is, that there is a wonderful parable that the Lord Jesus tells and begins to connect all three together, really. One is of a lost coin. One is of a lost prodigal son. And one is of a little lost lamb. And he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Isn't that an amazing thing? He goes on and says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. What an amazing, what an amazing thing that we find in this picture. As Amos begins to tell and proclaim the prophetical word of God, and he says, as a shepherd, I don't know, maybe it was something like that 99. And he began to count and he'd say, well, there's 72, there's 78 here, there's 89. As he makes his nightly count, he gets up to 95 and 97 and 98 and 99 wait a minute, let me go back again. And he goes over, and maybe miscounting, and he counts again up to 90, 95, 97, 98, 99, and oh no, there's one gone. There's one right in the fold. There's one that's put away. And so he grabs his shepherd's staff. He grabs his rod. And as that shepherd goes back over the day's journey and maybe walks way back out yonder, and he sees the tracks in the dirt and see where they've been passing through. He sees where the marks are. And he says, well, at this point, we've all been together. And then he follows those tracks all up and bringing their feelings. They have split where most of the group went one way and one ventured off by himself. And then he said, this is the one. And he begins to follow those little tracks and follows those footsteps. And there's a few paces ahead. He sees another set of tracks. It's the paw print of the lion. And he begins to say hello. And then he follows after. And then a few paces ahead, there's a scrimmage that looks like there's something has attacked and slammed. And now there's bloodshed. There's pieces of fur. And he says, oh, and then he sees just one set of paw prints and drops of blood. And he follows down all the way back. And there's a lair. And inside that cave is a lion. And he's devoured that little lion. When he gets there, the lion's got blood on his mouth. He's got blood on his muzzle, blood on his paws. And there's just scraps there. And with 100% authority, the shepherd, not afraid of the lion, but reaches into his mouth. And there was something there that was worth salvaging. I don't know about you, but the Bible says there was a piece of an ear.
Yes, right.
There were two legs.
Yeah.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wreck his treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.